believe that is. That is us. We are live. Let's have a look. I check sound. Right, all good. Welcome to another episode of the Bad Part of Podcast. Take two.
Hi.
Take two.
Thank you. Go check it.
So, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bungard.
What's happening, people?
We've got, obviously, our guest sitting across from us, Scott Malone. Scott's got a big fight coming up this Saturday against Jack Shore for the Cage Warriors bantamweight title. So, fight week, Scott. How you feeling, mate?
I said the same again what I said before. But
skinny. He feels skinny, but he looks thick. Thicker than a snicker, this guy.
I've got to get, mention a wee plug that I've already done before again. So.
Aye.
I'm looking thick because of Enhanced Sport Performance, and that was all, I've got to mention him all the way through, so... There's the first plug.
What's the letters again?
ESP.
ESP. Sounds like a military tech weapon, ESP.
See, when you jump Jack Shore's back, that's all you've just got to hear, man, ESP.
Just fucking chanting it.
He says you've been working with ESP since you started Cage Warriors, yeah, since your first fight.
From my first fight. And honestly, like, the amount of strength I've gained from just working, what, about a year or something now?
Aye.
Just, I added like 50 kilos to my deadlift, which was already pretty heavy anyway.
So you just felt you've been progressively getting stronger every fight?
He does a lot of stuff. He's not just doing strength, he's obviously doing like ballistics, he's doing power stuff, doing, like, even this morning we were training. And just like, just things that you would never normally do. It's not just strength, it's not just conditioning. He gives me certain runs that I'll do for like certain times, certain speeds. Like the red zone runs, I don't know if you've heard of them.
What?
Red zone runs.
Aye.
You run for like maybe 2.5 minutes on a treadmill at like 18 kilometres an hour, and then you stop for a minute, you do that 8 times. And it sounds nothing, but honestly, you're basically sprinting for 2.5 minutes, so...
I have no word. Just keep running now.
Just keep going.
So what's the thing behind that, doing different things all the time? Is it keeping the body guessing?
Keeps the body guessing. He's not, like, particularly different on the lifts and stuff he does. It's just, it's all basics, but it's all, you know, it's just different ways of doing things as well. Like, he does a lot of, what was it we were calling it the day? I can't remember what it's called. But basically, you're not lifting a weight, you're just going against the dead. Like against the, what's the thing, like the clips on the fucking hell, what's it called? The squat rack. See the clips of the squat rack? So you're just like pushing against that isometric, I think it's called. So you're not lifting any weight, but you're pushing full power and stuff like that. Then you come off and you'll do something explosive after that. So it's good, the stuff he does.
And with regards to all that sort of stuff, I take it now, obviously in fight week, all your strength and conditioning, all sparring, everything that's now done, it's about it's making the weight.
Yeah. The good bit. Bungie will know that.
How many times a week do you do your strength condition? Do you just one
strength
or twice?
Condition, I'll usually get in 2 or 3 times a day.
2 or 3 as much as
that? Yeah. So that's good. He keeps me on top of runs. He always gives me texts saying, like, you doing this, you doing that. You coming down. Even if I'm saying, like, I'm going to go and just come in and do on the treadmill or whatever, he's like, right, I'll come down.
Yeah.
Just to keep an eye over us, which is really good.
So all the hard work spell. Most of the hard work's done.
Just I'll probably do a couple of more runs, a wee sweaty thing on Thursday just to keep the body moving and get the weight down, and then sauna, maybe baths.
Aye.
Depending on how I feel and how the weight is.
What's the build-up been like to this fight? Because obviously you've done some added things, like obviously doing the face-to-face interview with Jack Shore, with Dan Hardy. Is that all that stuff added to it?
Yeah, it's been a bit weird. It's been... obviously a lot more attention on us, which is a lot different to normal.
Aye.
But it's good. I enjoy every bit. Like, even things like this, I've done a podcast with I always forget, the KP podcast. That was only sort of like 3 of us, but like doing things like this, coming away and going down there, it's all part of the game, and I need to get better at this. This has always been the worst thing for me, is like speaking. I'm always stuttering and I'm like, fucking hell, I hate speaking to people.
It's a Scottish thing, isn't it? When you hear your accent,
it's not
the best one to cut promos or trash talk me, but We need to deal with it, innit?
Certain things sound good.
Twitter's good.
Right, Twitter, Scottish Twitter's good. You also, you got a good laugh before we started. You got to see my flat arse fall through a chair, you know what I mean? So,
I missed that.
I've got to see the chair that's compromised before. But no, that, I get, this is all party, innit? It's party for a fighter. It seems to be a bigger party nowadays than it maybe it was.
Definitely.
10, 15 years ago.
I mean, what fighter doesn't have social media? They need to be out there, they need to be talking to their fans and... Just in general, just keep them updated how their training is, or if they want to do a bit of trash talking or shit talking, then that's the place to do it, isn't it?
It's just, I guess, with the trash talking side, some folk it comes naturally, some folk it doesn't. It comes kind of naturally to you.
That just sounds stupid, doesn't it?
I think with the trash talking, I think you've got to hear a mixture. There's got to be a bit of a comedy element here.
You need to know your audience.
Aye, 100%.
If you've got a Scottish audience, like your fan base, like... Put a bit of Scottish slang in there, then you'll think that's funny, you know what I mean?
That's not me, like, I've not got the banter for that. I just be a gentleman to them and then punch them in the face when I get there.
Has there been any back and forth for you and Jack?
Nah,
is it just all respectful?
He's actually...
He seems like a respectful guy.
He's a nice guy, he's... We sort of had a laugh, like, doing the promo stuff. We were sort of laughing, it was like, he was like holding up the belt and stuff. And the way they were telling him to do it, he had to hold up the belt and keep his arm back and sort of twist it at the same time, so he was like looking all uncomfortable and I just burst out laughing. And he was just laughing, so it was pretty cool, like, we had to be laughing.
Aye.
There's no animosity there, it's a sport to me at the end of the day, and it's, I think that's coming through judo. Like, you were best pals. One of my best pals was, I used to train with him every day basically, and then we'd go on the mat and then we'd fight.
Yeah,
because we were the same weight category.
Mm-hmm. What, and competitions?
Yeah, competitions. Yeah, like, I beat him like near enough every time, but he beat me at the most important time at the British. So,
yeah,
lucky bastard. But, you go on there and you fight with each other.
Same team then.
Same club, same school, same like best pals. That's like went about. And you just had to go on and just compete. It's just like a jiu-jitsu. If I was going to compete against him in jiu-jitsu or whatever, obviously this was judo, but. You come off the mat, there's no, you know what I mean, there's nothing.
No.
This is a competition, like, he's beat me that time, I've beat him that time. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a sport at the end of the day. It's what one of the coaches said to me years ago was like, you can be best friends off the mat, enemies on the mat, as soon as you step back off the mat, you can be best friends again, there's nothing stopping you.
That's that.
Have you ever had any animosity, I wouldn't ask you that, because you've had that in the past, obviously, but have you ever had any animosity walking into a fight?
No, not really. There was one fight that sort of annoyed me. It was one of the guys, I think it was my second pro fight.
Mm-hmm.
He was like drinking and stuff the night before, so that was like fucking annoying me. That Kevin O'Fee,
right.
That really sort of got to me. I was coming off of two losses at the time. Coming off the Aidan Stevens loss and my first pro loss, so... Yeah. This guy was, that was when on top in the, you know, the two nights in a row.
Aye. The weekend.
He was there the day before, fucking drinking pints and, I mean, like, it put loads of pressure on me because I felt like, shit, have I got beat for this guy and he's drinking here?
Exactly, man.
And I'd already come off two losses, so I'd already fucking had this mental block in my head already. But he came out, he didn't touch gloves or fuck all, just ran it straight at me. I just picked him up, slammed him, von flew him.
Aye,
30 seconds.
But then do you think he's woke up the next day after that and thought, shit, I was drinking last night and I need to fight tonight, and that's how he's just so, I just need to go.
I genuinely think he was there for the money, like,
aye.
I think my guy pulled out and he filled in like maybe 2 weeks before or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was there just picking up a check really. But
I've seen one of your interviews today that says you don't think it's gone past the third round.
No.
So what makes you think that?
I don't know, I just feel like, I feel I'm going to be too powerful for him, eh? Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe a TKO stoppage or a KO stoppage.
How do you feel about maybe going to five rounds?
That'll be interesting.
Aye, five is a lot.
That will be interesting. I don't know.
Because I remember your last, the Amazinger fight. You looked tired. Yeah, I know it was a tough fight back and forth, but...
Yeah.
I just think that fight was an extra two rounds, man.
I know. See after that fight, well, before that fight, after I weighed in, I never refueled properly.
Yeah.
Just before I went on to fight, it was like, I think it was maybe half an hour before I fought, and I didn't think I was going to fight so early. So I went away and got like fucking a baguette and chips You know what I mean? So that was, I don't think that was
too, a bit heavy in
I
the
don't
stomach.
Think that was helping either. Like, I came back after that fight, I came out, spewed everything.
It's a good fight, man. I enjoyed that.
That's probably the best I performed as well, I think.
I remember I was watching it on my phone, just in my bed, on my pillow, and I just got mental.
I think a good thing as well is with you, how things have went for you in Cage Warriors, is you've slowly got to show different flashes of what you can do in different fights. So I think it's shown folk that maybe had the preconception that you were just a grappler.
Just a grappler.
You've got hands and you can certainly chin some folk. Yeah,
especially that fight, man.
I've been working a lot on the boxing with Paul Keane, the guy for Dundee. He's a Celtic title holder just now. Really good boxer. He's a southpaw as well, which obviously suits me, you know what I mean? Been working loads of stuff with him, and I feel my hands have got like a lot more powerful. He's, from the last time I went, he was saying himself, he's like, your hands are just like really, he's like, it's actually hurting my hands holding the pads for you, so.
I feel these punches a few times there. Let's go hands, eh?
do you think there's a chance for this fight as well with Jack that it could end up being a stand-up affair?
Possibly. I know he's got decent boxing as well, but I think he's known for being more of a grappler. But so am I. So I don't know.
That was sort of my thinking, I think, because obviously Jack's style and the newer style, it could potentially grappling could almost cancel itself out, and you could end up throwing down.
Usually find that a lot, like two wrestlers fighting each other or whatever, they end up just standing in the middle and banging.
But that's kind of what I was thinking anyway. It could could potentially go
that
way.
The last fight was that finished quite early though, didn't it?
Yeah, that was in like 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, so I thought that was going to go a wee bit longer.
I generally thought that was going to be like a proper war.
Aye.
From the start.
It must be a confidence boost as well that the fight went the way it went.
What was good about it was I went in there uninjured. I think I took one kick to the leg. I took him down. Armbar. And that was it. Like, I genuinely never even broke sweat.
I know this year.
I don't mean that in like a disrespectful way, but like I genuinely never broke sweat at all, and it was good. I went out, got drunk after it. That was it. Ready to fight another day.
It was a lovely evening. Then.
Did you ever feel, because you thought it was going to be a war, like you're mentally prepared for the war for the weeks, and then it's over in 2 minutes, and you're like, oh yeah, an anticlimax.
Because you kind of said that as well, didn't you? Last week you thought it was going to be a complete war, and then I don't know. It's,
I think that's the sport. This is how we all be sporting. It can be like this. The last second or the first couple of seconds.
I guess you'll take the first round for keeping any damage all day. All day of the week.
Definitely.
But you've had your first fight was a decision and then a knockout and then a sub, so you've a good mixture for the fans as well, especially to see.
That first decision was my only decision I've had.
But it was dominance, man.
That was, to me, I knew I'd won the fight. So I was sort of, I was just coasting, if that makes any sense. Like, I was just sat there and I was like, I knew I'd won. So I was like, first fight on Cage Warriors. I hadn't had the contract yet, so I was like, right, I'm going to play this out and just lay on top of him pretty much.
The takedowns were lovely though, your level changes. I remember watching that. It was a dominant performance.
I knew he was a striker as well. He had a few like highlight real knockouts. Like quite high level taekwondo guy, so I knew. Andy was southpaw, which makes it even like awkward. So for me, the takedown, that was always the game plan, just take him down and just wait. I wasn't looking to go and finish, I was just looking to win that one fight. And then when I got the second fight, it was obviously a wee bit, I had to start finishing fights, you know what I mean, to get these title shots.
And I take it, did you kind of feel that last fight, that I won there and it probably was going to be a title shot after that? Were you sort of confident that if you'd done the business, you were going to get this fight?
Yeah, I actually said it I'm pretty sure in the interview before. I was like, once I win this fight, I'm going to be up in the cage calling for the belt. That's exactly what I've done.
Nailed the belt.
Sometimes though with Scottish fighters, you don't know if they're ever going to get a title shot.
Yeah.
It took Ross a while and like Stevie and that, but it's weird because all these Scottish champions have been once, and it was years ago. You know what I mean?
I was saying to Scott earlier. I was on a, it might have been an MMA UK show, and it was one of the guys was talking about how all the good things Cage Warriors were doing in the UK. And I'm not disputing that they're not doing good things, but for me, I don't feel they are doing great things in Scotland in terms of what they're doing. It's not comparable to what they're doing in Wales and England. Mm-hmm. It's just no, they're getting Scottish fighters on the card, but yeah, they're not in any way up here trying to push through the academy system.
The thing is, every Scottish fighter that is on it or has been on it has always took a following. Yeah. So it's like, what do you think they're going to do when it is in their home country? You know what I mean? Look at Celtic.
They're awfully different. Next, you know what I mean? Aberdeen, Inverness, Elgin, Dundee. I mean, there's going to be, and there's plenty more that can go on that card as well. Like Glasgow's and stuff.
Definitely.
I think they'd sell at any venue up here.
I think potentially ACB fucked us off for a while.
And they don't go for the bigger venues anyway.
It doesn't make sense to come up here and go with it. You'd come up here and go with something that you would be confident you would sell out. Like, there's plenty of venues about that you could, because I mean, I reckon they would fill 1,000 or 2,000 up here, I think.
Mm-hmm. That ice hockey arena, that's quite cool. And Fife went on top, didn't it? Mm-hmm. So that a show that could probably sell it well. Nice wee stadium.
Get to Dundee, I seen you now.
There you go, man. Exactly.
I'm sure behind the scenes, like yourself and Ross and all that. I definitely know Ross. He must be asking for shows, doesn't he?
I asked Ian Dean the first time I fought. I was like, "We'll be getting a show up here," and he's just like, "It's just too much lugging all the stuff up, all the equipment up."
I am not wearing that fucking argument.
That's what he was saying. To me, I'm like, "Well, what about the shows in Sweden? What about the shows in Denmark?" He's like, "Oh, we've got guys over there, I've got stuff." And I was like, "Right, okay."
Bullshit!
A couple of hours up the road, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, well, we got
I know a mate with a transit that could do it though for a tenner, man.
I've got a guys that can help you out. I'm getting Kate Warriors champion. And then you've got guys like Aidan Stevens, Paul McBain, I don't know what's done, Paul Warden, doing well.
Just got married, didn't he?
Aye, obviously, Paul works up short as well, so.
Long, but like the last one, like James Doan fought and all that, and like Joanne and Paul McVeigh, how many years ago was that?
It was the
Kelvin Hall.
That was like just before I turned pro, I think.
I think that was a good show, but Kelvin Hall was pretty big. Yeah. So,
that was a decent show, that.
We could have two Scottish champions and they're not going to bring it to Scotland. Come on, you fuck.
Mm. Aye, well, that's the thing, aye. Two Scottish champions, you can't really deny it. With that, you've got to make some sort of effort. Obviously, I know Big Ross was trying to get something up here. He was trying to defend his belt up here, but that is what it is, isn't it? And would you make it, Jack? I'm assuming, had your eye on Jack for a while then.
Mm-hmm. Jack was... I've been watching Jack through Cage Warriors since I think he started Cage Warriors, you know what I mean? He was always sort of, not a poster boy as such, but he was always made a big deal of. I've always watched his fights, and I thought before him and Nathaniel Woods maybe would have fought. But Nathaniel got signed for UFC, and I actually called for that fight. That was before I was even on Cage Warriors. I was there, get these two fighting. But I think it's a bit surreal, me now going fighting him for the title.
I think the thing with the Cage Warriors title as well, and I'm pretty sure every fighter that's gone for a Cage Warriors title in the back of their mind has got the three letters, UFC. Because that's one of the big implications of winning a Cage Warriors belt. And I'm assuming that's something that you've thought about.
Definitely, I've already got a date set in my head for the UFC. Once I win this, I'm getting that Stockholm card. I'll be calling Dana White out and Sean Shelby.
That's what you want, but the mere guys we see going through and getting on Cage Warriors and Bellator and that is, it's only good for Scottish MMA. And obviously, the other big thing is, let's be honest, financial implications. I mean, you might not get life-changing money in your first fights with the UFC, but you've got the potential to earn that, or Bellator.
You're still getting like a good normal wage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're getting your average wage, but you're doing your 9-to-5 job. You know what I mean? I think if you're fighting 4 times a year, you're still working out. Well, I suppose if you need to win as well. You're getting a decent wage, I think. It's one of these ones where you're getting a lump sum at a time, though, and you're like, do I spend it all at once?
It's the potential as well, because if you look at Big Paul's a perfect example, he's made a nice wee bit of extra income for just putting good performances, and he likes the old last-minute finish.
Three bonuses in it, so it's 150 grand right off the bat.
He's a sub, man.
He's gave a few subs out, so he has.
You spoke about Nathaniel Wood there. Is that somebody you would like to fight in the future? Because he's killing it now in the UFC.
I've never really had my eye on him, to be honest, but I think that would be a good fight. Mm-hmm. He's probably a wee bit ahead of me in the UFC. Yeah. It's just, well, obviously he is, because he's in the UFC, but I think it would be a couple of fights for me to get there.
Without, obviously, looking ahead too much, but is there anybody you would love to fight in the UFC or Stockholm card?
Generally, anybody.
Just get there.
Anybody. Yeah. Anybody on that UFC bantamweight division, I'd fight them.
Nice.
Without a doubt. I'd take it on a day's notice.
Aye.
Maybe not a day's notice.
Fight your own division that time.
I suppose that's what the UFC are like. You've got to take your opportunities when they come.
I'm going to be training for it either way. Aye. I'm going to come off this. I'll probably have a drink with my pals after the fight, win or lose, celebrate or drown the sorrows, one of them, and I'll go straight back into training for that, for the UFC. And if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, you know what I mean? So I'll be ready.
Oh, that's right. You just need to be prepared for whatever comes up. Yep. The other thing as well, going down there to fight Jack I don't think Jack's doing this, but it seems when you look at social media and stuff like that, do you think some of he's following or some people down there are maybe writing you off a wee bit? And I think it's just going to be...
I think definitely all the Welsh are going to, you know what I mean? It's their homeboy and he's never been beat before, and I think a lot of people up here that have, maybe like people that have sparred or people that have seen me fight and come up, they're obviously going to be behind me.
Aye.
That is what it is. You just take the good with the bad. I like to prove people wrong either way. So,
are you taking an army down, or are you taking what people down?
I think there's about 50, 60 people going in.
For Dundee.
Yeah. 50, 60 Dundonians is a loud crowd.
I'll be interesting down the airport that day.
When are you going to Wales? When are you flying down?
On Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So I'm going down there, the flight's at
basically
5 to 9 or something.
Just starting your week off.
Just getting down there, getting my shit. The last times I've been, seen this James Forbes started, like, I went down on a Friday, and the last time, I didn't even have, like, a room. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't check in until 3 o'clock. The weigh-in was at fucking 1:30. So, something like that, you know what I mean, or 2:30. So I had to go and cut weight in Aidan Stevens' room.
Just
fucking sitting in his bath, you know what I mean?
I hope he wasn't in the bath with you.
Nah, luckily he was on weight, so fucking.
Right, that's us. I'm back on. Obviously we're not live at the moment, but just wanted to go and finish up because we had a wee bit of issues with the live stream before. So we were just talking to you off there about obviously your contractual situation leading up to your title fight. So just tell us a wee bit about where you're at with that.
So, yeah, the contract is, if I win, I get another 3 fights, and the only way I can get out of that is a UFC contract.
Right.
Which to me is not ideal, but if I win, I think UFC might come calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying before, like, it's a win-win situation. If I lose, I've only got another fight on my contract, and I could possibly look somewhere else to try and get someone bigger, someone more money. Cage Warriors is great, like, great platform, but the money's terrible.
Aye.
I mean, I think they need to be paying their fighters a wee bit more. But it is what it is, and you've got to make these sacrifices at the start to get to the big leagues.
It's part of it as well, because you see obviously about the moves Bellator are making, especially UK, Europe and stuff like that, and I'm sure you know what some guys are earning out there. They've got guys in the undercard, and it's no secret that are earning more than some Cage Warriors champions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've thought about as well?
Definitely. There's loads of shows I've thought about outside the UFC as well. Like, One really sticks out for me for some reason. I'd like to be the first Scottish guy fighting on One. Yes. If the UFC doesn't come around, obviously, I think One would be my next option, then possibly Bellator.
Do you think One kind of suits you? Because we've spoke about the trash talking side of things, and you've said that it's not really you, and One seems to be...
That's the bit that sort of, like, entices me to go, you know what I mean? Like,
a lot of lighter weights as well, isn't it?
There's loads of you guys, you're fully hydrated, you need to weigh in. I don't know how well that would suit me.
but I guess if you went to One, the first thing you would probably have to do is move to 145.
Yeah, but that's, they're so 145 is the bantamweight now.
Aye.
So have they changed weight divisions?
Well, what they've done, like Ben asking for middleweight and one, so they need to, I know there's ways on about it, but they need to do hydration tests and stuff like that, so they need to, they can't lose X amount of weight before they weigh in. So, for example, you went in there, you'd be moving to welterweight.
So when did they weigh in, like weeks before, weeks leading up? How did they do that?
They've got to do the test leading up to it.
Hydration, they check your like H2O levels or whatever in your body. I think it's because somebody died. Pretty much on the scales.
Aye.
So what's Mighty Mouse saying that?
Mighty Mouse.
Is he up?
135.
135. Yeah. Aye.
But that's their flyweight.
Aye.
So their flyweight is 135.
Aye, so you would still be a bantamweight.
It's still just be a bantamweight, but 145.
And Ben Askren was he was effectively like middleweight earlier. Mm-hmm. He was fighting it. But aye, it's, I think as well we won. I don't know if you know the numbers, but the numbers they get viewership-wise, it's fucking insane, yeah, man. It's mad, aye. It is. It's,
I watched a podcast, was it Brendan Schwab?
Yep.
Aye.
Is that how you pronounce his sick name? I don't know. But
Schwab.
Aye, Schwab, German.
Where the Alvarez, Sage Northcott and DJ, I don't know if anybody's watched that.
I did see that one, aye. They were playing games.
Yeah, that was interesting to hear them speaking about what goes on in UFC and how much one's better, and you feel like, basically made to feel like royalty over there.
Aye.
I mean, which, I would like to be like royalty.
Preferably a king, not a princess. But no, it's, I think it's good that there's a lot of options out there. Obviously, one, and Brave seem to be doing pretty well. I don't know what your pay structure side of things is like.
I think it's pretty good.
Brave, I don't know about Brave. It doesn't. They do a lot of shows in like
Dubai,
Afghanistan. Dubai,
United Nations.
I don't think Dubai would be such a bad one. It's a bit of a trek, right enough. Yeah. But cause I know Phil Campbell, he was an amateur fighter, I believe, trained at IFS. He does commentary and stuff like that for him earlier. But
I just looked really anywhere that I could earn some decent coin, so I didn't need to work. You know what I mean? Working's
bollock. Shite.
It's shit. I'd rather obviously do.
Fighting, that's your, fighting for that's your job.
I feel like that's like the thing I'm really good at.
You're a good scaffolder, like.
Not really, no.
So you're a better fighter than a scaffolder?
Definitely a better fighter than a scaffolder.
How would your, because I know it's your brother you work with, how would your brother rate you as a scaffolder?
You'd say it was shite, like.
Are you the negative cunt on the building side?
Probably. Well, we've got Ollie Sunshine, Ollie George Opless, known as Ollie Sunshine. He's works for me as well. I got my job, but he fucking goes about his puss tripping him all day. Like, he's like depressed the whole day. But working with my brother does that to you.
Aye.
He's my brother's a grafter. Like he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
He just goes and goes and goes, and I'm like, fucking hell, man. But he sees pound signs everywhere, whereas I see, like, I'm only getting this fucking amount of money.
Yeah.
I'm worth more. I could do better than this in life.
Effectively, you're not doing what you want to do.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it boils down to, isn't it? Yeah. I guess I suppose you're quite unenthusiastic about your job.
Steelwork, so fuck. Probably worse than that, man. But, it's just, see if you've, well, where I was, it was a dead-end job. Monday to Friday, shite hours, no wage rise, no nothing at Christmas, you're just a number, so it wasn't really going anywhere. So realistically, I'm like I know guys that were in that factory for like 20 years, like that routine, every day coming into work that you hated, like negative mind frame, waking up, like nah. So you want, like, waking up in the morning, go to training sometimes, if it's fight camp, you're still not looking forward to it, but like you enjoy that more than like a 9 to 5 or a factory job.
So when I was over in Cali, like getting up and going training, sometimes your body's aching. You're like, oh fucking hell, I've got to go and spar with these fucking UFC superstars.
Then after a year, like, I'm glad I done that. I'm glad I go in my bed.
You go and after training, you always feel better. After work, you're not feeling better. Like.
So do you kind of look at it as well? Let's see that, say 8-9 hours a day you're working. Is that, because that's obviously time out for bit of extra training, but the main thing, I guess, is that recovery. Mm-hmm. Is that the biggest thing you notice, just that extra time to recover?
Oh, aye. Mm-hmm. Even, like, when you're not working, like, you still feel like you need more recovery, because if you're doing 2 or 3 a day, you maybe go home, get some food, maybe lie down, but that thought of getting back up to go and train again, or it's still, you still feel like you need more. So put 9 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours in between that with a job, it's like it's what a million times worse. Don't I mean?
Scaffolding's not the easiest job in the world either. Like,
no,
it's a graft.
It's proper go, like you're lifting heavy all day, you're punting up, you're taking down, you're hammering,
you're also risking injury, I would imagine, with scaffolding.
No, if you worked at SG 420. Always got that wrong.
I take it you're good with heights then.
I'm alright with heights, but you always work behind the handrail if you're doing it properly.
Right.
So you're safe, although we need to wear a harness.
Aye.
You need to wear a harness.
Need a cowboy job there, yours then. So if you need any scaffolding,
Skyline scaffolding.
Aye, yeah. Contact Scott and he'll put you on his brother because he's not doing it anymore. So just obviously we'll not keep you too much longer because we're getting a wee bit late now, obviously. In your mind, how do you see things going on Saturday, and how much do you think this could potentially change your life then?
Like I said at the start, I don't see it going past 3 rounds. Both of us are known to finish as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
I see me going maybe TKO, maybe third, second round, maybe a KO, I don't know, but if I win, when I win, I'm hoping that Sean Shelby's close by.
You know, he's awake.
Yeah, hoping he's awake, hoping he's watching on UFC Fight Pass, and giving Brian that call, Brian give me that call and I'll be ready to go.
So you're pushing towards a KO? Instead of a submission, then
yeah, I'd say TKO.
You see that happening?
I could see switching from like submission to whatever, just to pound in his face. And
well,
sounds good to me.
I'll be certainly tuning in. She said face pounding, but no, obviously for us, mate. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
I know you're doing your flying a fly for Scotland, mate. But even just for you personally, I really hope everything goes well for you on Saturday. I'm sure it will.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man.